starting?
We haven't made that decision yet. What we're going to do is look at it all week, and at the end of the week, we'll make a decision on how and what groupings we'll use to defend these guys in the secondary.
Is it a little bit more of a you're looking and seeing in practice?
We're looking at all of it, and we're looking at them, and we're looking at us, and we're just going to, at the end of the week, make that decision.
So no one's got a shot then?
Yeah, they all have a shot. They really do. They all have a shot.
How are they splitting snaps today at practice?
But we're going to roll them like we always do. There really isn't a problem with rolling. If I answered that question, I'd be answering the other question, wouldn't I? That's a good follow-up. Almost had me.
Who's all of them?
What's that?
Who besides Nolan would be in that mix?
Oh, you got Brandon Boykin, you got Nolan, you got all of them. So all of them are in the mix, like they always have been, though. We always rep it out that way.
But you never ran it outside to them.
Not in the game we haven't, no. Part of the reason, a lot of times you have four corners that are up on game day. So when I go to dime package, they're all in.
No, what I'm asking is, there is a chance Brandon could start outside?
Yeah.
A chance.
A chance, but again, a lot of times all the corners we have are out there on the field at the same time, so therefore we need the nickel and dime spots. And we're facing a Giants team that uses more three wide receiver sets than anything, so all the corners that are up will be playing a lot.
What was the film of that second deep ball to Deshaun last week that Fletcher got beat on? What was the coverage? And I think you had seven guys drop there, but what happened where Fletcher got singled up on it?
There was a couple times that happened. Now, the whole game plan was either to pressure and have the post safety stay over the top of Deshaun unless somebody else was in a more stressful situation, or split the safeties and double them. So we moved in and out of that the whole game. And the one that he got vertical on, we also had an outside backer who was on a receiver into the boundary. They had a nice scheme, so they pulled the post safety, and Fletch lost it at the line of scrimmage. Really is where he has the most struggles the last couple weeks, was at the line, and he lost the battle at the line, and they had a good throw and catch outside, and the post safety couldn't help because we had an outside backer that was in more stress. Now, the time that we picked it off was where we didn't have it, and Nate did a great job of getting over the top, and we made a play on it.
Have you talked ahead, with Merle. Bill, you've faced some talented wide receivers in the last couple of
yes,
weeks.
We
How much of a nightmare is Beckham?
He is really improving. I tell you what, the first time we play him, this is a different offense we're about to face than the first time. Beckham had been out for a while, but now that he was just getting his feet wet at the time. But now he is a main part of what they do and who they look for in the passing game. So, and he's a talented young man. We loved him coming in the draft, and he's growing into exactly who we thought he would be.
You're talking about the confidence of Bradley Fletcher.
Mm-hmm.
Does it show itself at the line of scrimmage? I mean, is that somewhere where it can kind of show up and play?
Well, I think it's the whole down. It's the whole from the start to the finish. Bradley Fletcher has a lot of good football he's played for us over the last 2 years, and him and I have talked a lot about the confidence issue. And right now, if you just go back to our Giants game from a year ago where they threw probably 10 verticals on us, I think about five or six went to Fletcher, and he made unbelievable plays at the ball on a vertical routes, and I just need to get him back to that place. Yep. And that's what we were trying to do over the last couple weeks is, you just can't yank and jerk all these guys. There's not a whole lot of players that you have options for anyway, but you can't just bail on a guy right away. And sometimes maybe you wait too long, maybe you don't do it quick enough, maybe you do it too quick. And it's a fine line, and you got to make that call, and that's what we as a group did, and hopefully we can get Fletch back around to where he's playing the ball that he has played for us.
Bill, if you had wanted to bail on him, so to speak, earlier, would you have had to go on the chip before making that final decision?
Yeah, we all do everything together. We talk about everything all through the week. We are a collective unit here. We make all decisions together. There's no topic. You got to remember, we sit in this building all day, every day, watching every practice snap, going over every meeting, and talking about everybody's strengths and weaknesses. And at the end of the day, we collectively make all those decisions.
Doesn't someone have to have the final decision?
The head coach always has the final decision at all times. I don't know where you're going with the question.
Well,
but
the autonomy you had over defense and scheme and personnel decisions.
Yeah, we work together on it. It really is collective. I mean, I don't know how you make decisions in your world with the guys above you or not, but we collectively, with all our experiences, put our minds together and then say, hey, what's the best move for the Philadelphia Eagles? And we make those decisions then.
Was there ever a consideration to just basically change your approach? And I mean, just zone it up more to always have, safety help or, play?
You can do that. I mean, everybody is constantly going through moving in and out of where you place the help. You may place the help with the extra rusher. You can sit all day in a split safety coverage, and then your run game and other middle of the field completions start hitting you. So everything takes something away and everything gives something up, or there's a weak spot to every defensive call and every offensive call. Every protection has its hold. Are they going to keep the tight end or get the extra guy out defensively? Are we going to rush the extra Are we going to bracket? Are we going to double? Are we going to zone over the top? Right now, overall, we're about a 60% middle closed and 40% middle open defense, and that's who we are with a lot of our pressure package. That's where we've been, and we've been successful with that, and we've had some bad games with that. So I try to move through a game making calls and giving help where needed. Like I said, this game was to bring five and get the ball out quick with the lean post safety over the top of Deshaun, or double Deshaun, or zone over the top of him. And he had two nice plays on us when the middle of the field was closed, and they had it. They had five or six shots that they wanted that we had covered. So they made plays. We take the hat off to them, and we didn't make enough plays to win that game.
And outside linebacker, Graham and Barwin played every snap. It was the first time there was no rotation. Yeah. Why did you choose not to get Smith in there, and do you want Smith to get some reps this week?
So there's a couple of things that went in. Early on, we did not have many snaps in the first half. The offense possessed the ball for most of the down. So early on, we didn't make that rotation because there's separation in the two. There's separation in talent. Now, the more it's clustered, the more we play everybody. The more there's separation, the less we make rotations.
How did Brandon break out in his first start?
Excuse me?
How did Brandon Graham break out?
Brandon had a nice game. He really did. He put a lot of pressure on that quarterback. He really did move him off his spot a couple times and really got after the quarterback well and set the edge well in a run game.
You mentioned yesterday that Marcus has been inconsistent at practice. Have you seen any indications over the course of the year that inconsistency will eventually turn into consistency, that it will click for him? Or has there been?
I do believe it will. And part of the reason, and I've said this up here a couple times now, the difficulty of moving from outside to inside and then retrying to train your eyes and then now back outside, there's a reason for the inconsistency also, and some of it is us moving him from in and out and out and in. And the other part of it is he just has to, you know, settle in and play the hand he's dealt and make the most of it.
Presumably a player could – there are other players perhaps who would handle that better than he might have. I mean, even if you had another rookie linebacker moving outside inside, rookie linebacker X might handle it better than Marcus.
Yeah, I can only talk about Marcus in that situation. The rest of it, I don't know if I can – I don't know who that X player is.
Bill, emotion is a very big part of defensive football. Is it difficult to get them to an emotional peak in a game that doesn't have playoff implications?
Not this group. I mean, we have one mindset, and we've had it every week, and we come up here every week and say the same thing. We're going to win a ball game, and they all count, and they all matter. If we're playing a football game in New York, we're going up there, and they're going to get our absolute best with all the emotion we have. And it isn't about what comes after. It's about us going in there and trying to get our 10th win.
Is your defense better at the end of this season than it was at the end of last season?
In a lot of categories, yes. And in a very important one of the deep pass, the vertical ball, the plus 20 pass, we're not. And I've got to get that fixed. We're not better in our penalties and our discipline. So those are two areas that have hurt us, that we have to get corrected, that we have to make sure that we look at every aspect of why it's happening, and like we have all year. But the deep pass ball has got to stop, and that's what's giving up yards. It's with our points aren't where they need to be. There's a lot of aspects of the defense that have vastly grown. The run defense, our run average per attempt is high. Our takeaways are in the top five. Our sacks are in the top five. Our opponent completion percentage are in the top five. But the one that matters most is points, and that's the one we've got to get down, and right now we're not doing that. And that's a product of the deep passing game and of penalties.
Are you happy with some of the schematic changes you made this year in terms of having more base and having Marcus play the slot and the more the dime?
I'd say the dime is probably our biggest asset that we've had, and I think it's part of why the opponent completion percentage. We're in the top 10 in third down percentage. We really are. I mean, we have a lot of elements that are positive and move in a forward direction in a big way. The problem is the vertical passing game.
Something that stands out so much over everything else. There's got to be one or two things.
Jeff, we've looked at it all year, and schematically, I'm telling you, are we splitting the safeties? Who am I getting help to? Who's having those, you know, issues? Is it schematic? Is it calls? Is it timing of calls? Is it technique at the line? Is it technique deep? Is it underneath coverage that isn't supporting the deep coverage? There's so many things we're looking at, and we're racking our brains and trying to figure it out and solve the problem, and have been all year. It's kind of like the turnovers on the other side. You put all your focus on it, you're trying to fix it, and we've got to find ways to fix it, and we will. We will.
Jalen Watkins coming along, and what role or position do you see him progressing into?
Jalen's a versatile player, and I think at first, you know, he's got the corner skill set, which is what we all...
Outside?
The outside corner, he does. But the nickel roll and the dime roll are two roles that he could fill also. And he's an intelligent young man that you could possibly play safety. So we're starting him in a corner world, and then we'll slow – and we're training him in other places. Because when he is active, and he was active the other night, he possibly could go in at nickel, dime, safety, or corner. And that's a testament to his football intelligence. It's just not there yet. You know, it's like a lot of rookies. We've thrown a lot at him, and he's done a great job trying to absorb it, but he hasn't separated himself to where he belongs in the starting conversation yet. But I'm hopeful that someday he will.
You'd be okay with him in Nolan's role, like, next season if you ended up moving Nolan outside?
Well, I need more body of work from him, honestly. We need the off season, we need the preseason and all those things to look at. But there's no reason why you couldn't project him into where he could go out there and play, I think, right now, from what we've seen. But it was mostly preseason that we saw that in.
When you slice everything up with Marcus, when you saw him last summer in OTAs and, like, did you expect more from him this year than you've gotten, regardless of position switch in, out? Did you expect more from him than you've ultimately
over got? Time, I've learned to kind of cool it on the expectations of rookies, no matter where they come to, first round, last round, because you can really bury a guy that you shouldn't bury who's a sixth or seventh round pick or a free agent that really, if you go with an open mind, he shows you through his practice and what he does every day that he deserves to be in the conversation to play more. So I don't get overly excited about first, second, third round picks. I don't get underwhelmed with the lower picks. Everybody comes to us, now they're an Eagle, now we evaluate them on what you do in our building, in our meeting room, in our weight room, in our training, and Marcus is where he's, you know, proven to be throughout the year by his actions and his play on the practice field.
Do you guys decide, you know, not to start Bradley Fletcher at outside cornerback? Would he still get in, like, in dime packages, or would
all those things we'll talk about at the end of the week? It's a big collective. We'll get it done and then make all those decisions. Even that specific question I can't answer because I don't know the answer to it yet. Right. We're going to watch this week, and again, there's only four corners on the roster and fifth with Jalen. Right. So
I mean, obviously in the game, choice because when you look at the dime package, yeah. That's why I was asking.
Okay.
Five rookies. I'm sorry. Of the seven rookies, five are on the defensive side. You're only really getting one of them playing somewhat significant snaps. Bo Allen, as a class, are they slow developing or is it the product of the depth?
I wouldn't say that. I think all of them we have an open mind with. I think they've all worked hard and are getting better. Have they been good enough to crack the starting lineup? The answer to that is no. Can they eventually? The answer is yes.
I think so.
We're good. Thanks, guys.